And see, that's where I tell you that if you don't understand the book, if you don't get your foundation about the lineages and how it got set up, that two lines were coming out of the Garden of Eden, if you don't get that foundation laid, you do not understand the scriptures all the way to the end. Because the reason that we are told who begat, who begat, who begat, was to let us know which of those lineages were running through history that had pureness in them. And you're right. We know that Noah got off, you know, the ark and turned around and got drunk. Well, if he was a perfect man, if he was so-called perfect like that, he would have never done that.
Right.
But his bloodline was righteous because it was not tainted. It was not a tainted bloodline.
All things continually lead back to serpents, dragons, fairies, Nephilim, and fallen angels.
In the distance looms a mystical mountain.
As Mike Heiser used to say, if it's in the Bible and it's weird, it's probably important.
At its peak, a great fire burns, concealing the Prometheus lens.
This development of this knowledge that's being talked about within the mystery schools.
An ancient artifact said to reveal the hidden truth within a deliberately darkened world.
There's a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world.
Join us as we travel and explore the vast unknown. It's a hero's journey with dragons to slay, damsels to save, and innumerable treasures to hoard. Torches high.
The Smithsonian, they caught wind of a giant skeleton. They would send their agents out to get it.
But it takes courage to move forward, to move out of the shadows, out of the unreality that we think of as reality.
We are all on the hero's journey.
Mankind has been in contact with and influenced by extraterrestrials.
Leave the Sitchin mound of bull feathers out of it.
You know, look at it from a different perspective. A different perspective. Different perspective.
What is happening and what is up? Hold out your glass, because we're about to fill it up. Welcome to the Prometheus Lens Podcast, the place where the conversations are always enlightening. I'm your host, Justin, and here we like to use the allegory of the Prometheus Lens to take a second look at everything. Well, today, guys, I have a treat for you. I have an author and speaker and researcher. Heard her on plenty of podcasts before. Always has great conversations and insights. And she's authored quite a few books, and she's recently just released The Beast Mark. So I'd like to welcome to the show for the first time, Dr. Joy Pugh.
Hi, Justin. Thank you so much for having me as your guest today.
Oh, I'm pleased and thrilled to have you. I, you know, we said pre-roll that I've listened to you several times on different shows and had every intention of reaching out to you. And I'm just so scatterbrained. So I'm glad that we finally connected and got to do this. Hopefully this will be the first of many.
Oh, I hope so. I enjoy going back and being guest reoccurring, because there's so much information that I have in all of my books that you could probably do from now to the end of the year some show on something that's a field of study that I actually touch on in the research that I've been doing for quite a long time now.
And it helps to have a familiar Southern accent on the show with me.
Definitely from South Georgia. There's no doubt in my mind. I get a lot of that when I do radio shows. I find it very interesting because I do radio shows that are across the pond, the big pond. And the English people really over there, England, France, Ireland, some of the places that I've had the privilege of being a guest on, they enjoy the Southern drawl of English. So it is a little bit different in our area. And of course, many people think that I was not from the South, because I actually have less of a drawl than some of the people that I grew up with. In fact, it's really kind of going by the wayside. We were talking about the other day, how there were certain types of words that were used when we were growing up that we don't hear used anymore because that type of person has passed on. But the South is definitely noted for the way that we talk.
Yeah, it's like that everywhere. I got a friend that I've recently made from over in Britain. His name's, he goes by General Lee.
Yes.
And he's got a show called Subconscious Realms. And he has a really deep accent for his side of the way. And sometimes I got to, you know, say, Lee, repeat that, would you say? I'm sure he thinks the same thing about me, too. So.
Oh, man.
But just for any of my listeners that's just now getting exposed to you and your work, kind of just give us a synopsis of your background, who you are, your interests and books that you have written. Just kind of give the listeners a feel for who you are.
Well, the quickest way for you to find out anything about me is to go to www.drjoye.com. That's joy with an e.com. And everything on my books and things about my research and my past are there. I have an extensive background of research that has been going on for numbers of years. I actually started researching things when I was in high school and then, of course, continued it through my college years. And when I got my doctorate degree, I continued to do a lot of papers and things that had something to do with the end of days. So I've been doing research for a very, very, very long time. I had a strange dream when I was 6 years old that I would be here to see the end of days. And so for the last 61 years, I have been involved with trying to figure out what scripture has told us is going to happen at the end of time and how it lines up. And so far, I can honestly tell you from the time that I started this a long time ago, everything is falling into place. And many people thought that it was going to be symbols, but I can clearly show in my research that it's not symbols, it's in actuality, reality of what we're seeing today, what our headlines are professing, what we're seeing on TV, what we see on the internet, and things of that magnitude. It's all falling in line with what scripture has told us exactly as it was written. It's not something that's allegorical. In fact, it's very real. And all the years that I've been doing research now have been extensive. I did my first book back in 1999. It was called Jesus Christ, or Antichrist, the cloned image of Jesus Christ, in which I was looking at the Shroud of Turin because I felt like the Shroud of Turin, and that is the shroud, the burial shroud of Jesus Christ that the Catholic Church now owns, would be a major player to be used at the end of days. And so that first book that first came out in 1999 was called Antichrist, the cloned image of Jesus Christ. And I started with a lot of the fields of study that I'm still working on today in the research that I do. After that book, I came back and did that book, did an update on that book. It's actually a 2017 new edition. And then I did a book series called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. And it came out as a huge volume. At that time that I wrote that, I redid that book. It's now in an updated, revised edition, and it's now two volumes because of the information that had to be included. And then I followed that book series with Beguiled, Eden to Armageddon, and it's a volume 1, 2, and 3 series that has been updated as well. And it's because there's so much information that when I went back and added to what I'd already put in those books, it just made them so much longer. So now it's a 3-volume series. And then I recently just released a book called, it's actually called Beast Mark, and it is End of Days, Breaching the Pineal Gland. And it brings all these fields of study together. I do have other books. I have a book called Parables of Joy on a Georgia Farm, which are true stories about my youth and growing up so that people get to know who I am, especially if they do a lot of research. In the books that I do with me, they sometimes would like to know who I am. And that book is also a nonfiction, very true. The characters are very real in there with their real names. And then I did a book called Special Parables of Joy. And it was about triumphs of the disabled. I worked for about 13 and a half years with handicapped people. And it is a book that I really encourage people that if you're dealing with a handicapped family member, that you need to read that book because it does show you a lot of the success that I had in working with people who have major, major disabilities. And there was probably not any type of disability that I did not deal with. And then I have a book that is a book of poetry. It's called Colors of Joy 2, And it gives you a little bit of a background into the poetry that I've written. And then I have an album called Before Time Stops, which is a 12-song album. And all the songs on there are original. They're Christian songs. And I am the band. I play all the instruments. I went into the studio and laid down all the tracks for all the instruments that I actually use on that. And all of that, you can see that at my website. Again, it's www.drjoye.com. And like I say, all my books and everything are there. And there's also a submission form there if you have a question for me, because I do a lot of podcasts and radio. I have done TV, History Channel. My research has been featured on the History Channel and several series about the end of days. And if you have a question for me, I do a radio show monthly that I take questions from around the world and I answer them on Dr. Joy's Ask Me Anything show. I also do a monthly show with Sean Whittington, which is an exorcist priest in the Catholic Church. And I do that the second Monday night of every month. And it is live on YouTube, and it's from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And then I join John Baptist on Tribulation Now that comes on the second Sunday night of every month. I join his show between 9 and 10. His show actually comes on at 7, but I'm a guest at 9 to 10. I do that monthly. And then I also have been doing a monthly show with Laura Alexander Swan, who is on the Global Watchman News. And she's usually, we do that either the first Sunday night, 9 to 11, or the third or fourth Sunday nights from 9 to 11 that I do her show. And so I'm on several. I also do a podcast with a deliverance minister who was an ex-cop and a kickbox champion. And it's called Heavenly Warriors, and that's with Rick Bell. And we do that frequently, sometimes bi-monthly. Sometimes we can do 3 a month. But that comes out on Rumble, iTunes, and a lot of other things. But it deals with dealing with and boxing blindfolded with demons, which we don't realize that we are doing every second of every breath that we take. And we try to go into the demonic presence that in a natural setting that we deal with on a daily basis. And we talk about the things that he and I have experienced and then how it relates to scripture and how the demonic spiritual realm is really right here with us. And we have to be prepared to know our enemy. And so that helps. That show is to help you. It's kind of a self-help show that can bring about deliverance to you if you are dealing with oppression or possession of that nature.
Amen. So guys, as you can see, this woman is well-researched, well-read, and very busy. I mean, where do you find time for even for sleep, Dr. Joy?
You know, people laugh at me because I am a night owl. I was born coming into the world late at night. And I used to tell my mother that's why I never wanted to go to sleep at night, because I was born late at night and everybody else was going to sleep and I was ready to really party. And when everybody went to sleep, I was still awake. And then when they woke up, I wanted to go to sleep. So I spend a lot of hours in the day. I'm not too much of a sleeping person. People laugh at me about that, but sometimes during the night, I'll think about something and get up and write things down so that I can remember, not forget. What I might be doing. But I find it very interesting that when I've actually written the books that I've written, I like to write at night, all night long. And you'd be amazed between the hours of 3 and 4, when you do that, it's there's a peace and there's a calmness that you can't even express. And it's like you, from that point on, you never feel tired, you never feel sleepy, and I can just go all night long like that. It's almost like when you, if you're a runner, of course I was an athlete, and they would say you get your second high. It was like you had to break yourself in. But once you got to that point, then your body kind of took over and you had another set of wind that you didn't really realize where did it come from. I think it does the same thing like that, especially when you're working on Christian things. I think that quietness and that peace and that calm that comes at that time of that morning, everything is so still and so quiet that it just gives you some kind of feeling that you're in the presence of God. And I have always cherished that time at night when I have done research. I have done actually radio shows very, very late at night from the Pacific Coast, where I would start maybe at 1 o'clock at night and go to 5 o'clock in the morning. And my friends would be like, how did you stay awake? But God has blessed me with the ability to be awake at night, because most of the podcasts and things are done late at night. And on the Eastern Coast, you know, if you're having to do anything across this country, most of their shows come on at 9, 10, 11. It's going to push the Eastern group into a very late hour. So I've been very fortunate to be able to do that, and feel very humble that God has given me, I guess, the internal fortitude and the physical capability to do whatever I feel like I need to do for Him. I'm also a musician, like I said, and I do play at church. I do solos. I sing. I part of the, you know, the choir. I do the piano, the music ministry.
You sung your voice out last time we were supposed to get together. You sung your voice
out. I actually had gone to a revival and was doing music every night. And for some reason, I came down with laryngitis. And for 3 weeks, I've just now, in fact, this morning at church was the first time that I've actually come back and sang like a normal person could sing. I really had to take a lot of antibiotics and was very, very sick. It had been a long time since I had laryngitis. The last time I had laryngitis was when I was coaching Special Olympics. I was very involved with Special Olympics and had screamed for a athlete that I was training that was doing a great job at state championships in a long distance running race. And I strained my voice and spent several weeks without a voice. So I'm very cautious about things like that, but I just think that the days in which we're living, there's a lot of strange bacteria. We know the plagues that are out there. And I just think I picked up something that I really could not shake. So I'm happy to be able to do a show and get back to my normal routine. So I enjoy music. I play a lot of different instruments. I play drums on Tuesday night for a group that's a Christian group. And then on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, then I do, you know, church services and that kind of thing, the music playing for the congregation. And then, of course, doing solos. And then I do specials. If I go to revivals and things of that nature, I usually do some type of special for the service. So I very much enjoy my music. It's actually been a part of me since I was very, very young, very, very young.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's one thing that and this is just some internal thoughts. So this is, I'm explaining my randomness of my comment. But, you know, I really don't try to plan these things. I just try to have organic conversation and just, you know, let the Holy Spirit take it where it wants to go or where it needs to go. And, which I'm really enjoying this conversation, because the ones I have listened to you know, you give a little background, but then you just kind of jump into your material. So I think, people that do follow you or have heard you on other podcasts are kind of getting a better feel of who you are and your interests and things. So this is interesting conversation.
I was born and raised on a Georgia farm, and the book that I wrote, Parables of Joy on a Georgia Farm, is very inspirational because it teaches you about what it's like to grow up on a South Georgia farm and what it was like for me as a young girl. My father did not have a son, so I learned how to drive all the tractors and the harvesters and worked in tobacco, you know, crop tobacco, pick cotton. I have done a lot of farm work in my lifetime growing up over the years. And because he didn't have a son, he taught me how to shoot really well. And so I'm an avid hunter. I hunt deer, quail, and rabbit. I've hunted squirrel and dove. I enjoy very much hunting. I enjoy shooting. I love to go to the range and shoot. And I love to shoot skeet. And on top of that, I was very involved in athletics and played a large number of sports. I refereed sports as a young girl and probably was one of the first women to actually referee basketball in our area and in the college area. And then I have coached a lot of sports. I trained a lot of athletes to compete for Special Olympics, actually on the international level. We would compete against 100 and some odd countries, and I had some gold medalists who were that. I had several state championship teams and also regional, Southeast regional United States teams. So I have had a very diverse background besides just doing research. Many people think I'm just a bookworm, but I will honestly say that when I was about 11, 12 years old and I was sitting at a baby grand piano being taught classical music, and I wanted to learn to play Romeo and Juliet, and my teacher looked at my mother and she said, "Stella," she says, "I just can't get over this." She says, "All I can see is Joy coming across the field on her 65 Honda with dirt flying everywhere." And then she's sitting at a classical piano playing Romeo and Juliet. So there's a lot of things in my life that I laugh about, especially in that Parables of Joy on a Georgia Farm. I encourage people, if they like to hear like Tom Sawyer, little short stories about truth, you really get an understanding of who Dr. Joy is. And so that is a book that really tells you a lot about me and teaches you what it was like to grow up, what it was like to be baptized outdoors in a pond, and what it was like to go to church and the things around me and the hard work that we did, the animals that I actually took care of. I had a menagerie. I had two skunks, probably were my favorite ones to, you know, surprise people with when they were sitting in the chair and the skunks were under the chair and decided to come out at the last minute. But, you know, there was just, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stories in that really does give you insight to who I am. But, you know, the big thing is that God called me to do this a long time ago. And I always believe that the dream he gave me at age 6, that he absolutely gave me some insight into something that I knew was not just a dream. It was actually, I would say, a vision. And all my life, I've been looking to figure out who the Antichrist is and why they're here and how it plays out into the time period that we're now living. And so my books are not something that I've guessed at. It's not something that I think, well, there's a possibility. I have researched this. That was one thing when my first 2 years of school were to be in a lawyer. And so my associate degree is in pre-law. And my intent was to be a trial lawyer, where I would take a case, you know, to a courtroom and be able to prove my theory or whatever. And so I approach my research the same way. I look at it from every angle that you can look at it. In other words, I have put it to the test. I have been the devil's advocate in a lot of things, and, you know, try to feel like, what would the devil say about this, or what other options are out there? And I bounced a lot of research off of a lot of people to get their feedback so that I can see the whole picture. And once you see the whole picture, then when I give you this research in the books that I do, and I write them just like I'm talking to you. So don't think you're going to be reading a textbook from a college when you read my work. You're going to actually, the people that read my work go, it's almost like I'm sitting at a table with you and we're having coffee and you're just talking and you're telling me about this information. I tried to write my books like that.
Make it more palpable.
Well, and to be for a 12-year-old. I mean, I really started my major research at 12 and 13 years of age when I was able, I read the book of Revelation, but then the first book that I actually read outside of scripture was a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And yeah. Hal wrote that book for me at 12 and 13 to be able to grasp the concept. And I wanted to do the same thing, that whoever reads my work, whether they be a PhD, you know, a doctor like I am, or whether they're a 12-year-old kid like I was, being called in to do this type of ministry and not understanding, because girls, I hate to say, in the South were not considered, you know, being a minister was like out of the question. I mean, you could be a Sunday school teacher, oh, yeah, and you could be a choir leader, and you could play the piano, and you could do specials, and you could do...
It's still blasphemous in certain
yes,
regions.
It's a really bad thing. And so, you know, I was called to do what I do. And so, you know, I think I'm more of an evangelistic researcher and a teacher to go in and explain to you all the details about what scripture is saying, and then bring in the things from the world to show you how it lines up. Because so many times people have thought, well, this means it's going to be some kind of symbol, or it's allegorical. It's not like based on fact. So I bring the science in and show you that what scripture has been telling us all the time has been correct. So instead of the Bible catching up with science, science is really catching up and proving scripture. And so that's fascinating to me when I can actually show what the Bible has already told us. It was written, you know, all these thousands of years ago, and yet it's playing out in our lifetime, and you've got the science to prove it. So then that allows me to box the information in. So again, there's not a leeway to find a door or a loophole. And so I'm bringing you the information just like I would be bringing you a case and you were a juror. And I'm saying, here's the evidence. Here is the evidence. I want you to look at it. I want you to read it. And I always encourage people, if they read my work and they find some part of my work that they can disprove or feel like I need to know more about it, I encourage that. I have been doing this so long with such a desire. I want it right because I feel like truth will set us all free. And that's the problem right now in churches. You know, I'm an avid follower of Jesus Christ, and I do attend church, and I do encourage people to find a church and to get into a church and to really be with people who are true lovers of Jesus Christ.
Hey listeners, it's Nick from Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company. I want to invite you to try something new. Here at Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company, we have a bold and slow-roasted coffee that is 100% organic and ethically sourced. There are no pesticides or fungicides from the plantations we import our coffee from, and it's all single-sourced too. We have light, medium, and dark roast. Even decaf coffee as well to satisfy whatever kind of coffee you drink. We also have a variety of flavor coffees for you to try, including our hazelnut and apple pie flavor coffees, which are both big sellers. You can order our coffee at www.kevlarjoes.com. You can also follow us at Facebook, Instagram, or X for Kevlar Joe news, deals, and your daily dose of coffee-related memes, so make sure to like and follow our pages. And I'll leave you with this, listener. The world isn't a safe place right now, and it seems like it's always teetering on the edge. But don't forget, like it says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So be bold, be humble, and be Kevlar.
Are you a member of the Prometheus Lens Podcast members only group? And if not, what are you waiting for? Come join the band of brothers on the hero's journey. With this members only package, you get early access to episodes. You get special episodes that nobody else gets, special video content, documentaries, and you help support the show and keep the lights on. You know, doing a podcast can be very expensive. A lot of people don't realize all the subscriptions, the website fees, the video and audio subscriptions and things like that. So if you enjoy the content, help keep the lights on, help me keep doing what I love to do, keep bringing you fire each and every week.
We have been kind of led to slaughter because we have not looked up everything that we needed to look up and know about. And it says in scripture that, you know, Jesus's people or God's people suffer because of lack of knowledge. Well, it's because we've turned a blind eye. Oh, we shouldn't look at that. Or we shouldn't pay attention to that. Or that's outside the Bible.
That's dark.
It's dark. And it's paranormal. I mean, I hear all these kind of things and I'm like, look, the Bible is the most paranormal. I've done research in all kinds of paranormal books on every kind of thing you can imagine. I mean, everything. The Bible is the most paranormal book that's ever been written. I mean, we got people walking on water. We got people changing water to wine. We've got spirits talking. We've got demons talking. We've got demons being run out of people. I mean, we got people being raised from the dead. We've got spirits.
But the book stops at Jesus, doesn't it?
That's right. And so
that's always blew my mind.
The thing about it is if you don't understand that spiritual realm is right here with us and that all this that we think is so-called paranormal, it's a real deal. But you've got to understand, what is it that you're dealing with? You know, the occultic people have got it where they have used this kind of thing to encamp, encamp people into their way of thinking. And then they drag them down the rabbit hole. What I'm trying to do in my ministry is to pull you out of the rabbit hole and say, look, where you walked away from Christianity, you had these questions. I now can answer them based on what Scripture says and science is showing us now. And then you don't get down this rabbit hole into the occult and all the bad things that Satan has laid out to ensnare you. I mean, that's
because they tell partial truths. You know what I mean?
Right.
The occult and the New Age, they give you partial truths, but it's perverted. And where they're at least giving you partial truths, people are drawn to that because people are curious. People want to know things. And it's like where the church is being silent. Like, I love how you worded that. They're just leading them blindly to the slaughterhouse.
Well, it's really important when you think about what Scripture says. It says if you're to know your enemy, it says for us to be as wise as serpents. You know, to be as gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. What is that telling you? It's telling you if you don't know your enemy, you cannot fight against him. There is no good general out there in the world that ever goes into a battle without knowing his opposition. If I'm gonna coach basketball, I want to be able to look at the other team. I want to know what their stats are. I want to know who their best player is. I want to know their plays. Okay. If I'm gonna fight Satan, I've got to know what he's up to, what he's teaching, where he's hitting me at, how he's hitting me, and how he's getting in to destroy my life, because he's after Christians 24/7. If you don't have a fight from Satan, he's already got you. Amen. And a lot of people think when they come to know Jesus Christ, their life's going to just be wonderful. And I'm like, no, that is when your big fight is going to start, because as long as he had you, everything was going along really smooth. The moment you change your life and to look at Jesus Christ, he's going to come at you. He's going to come at you tenfold, sevenfold, eightfold. I mean, he does not stop. And if you're a new Christian, you can bet those first couple of years that you have changed over from your walk with him to walking with God, that he is going to do everything he can do. I mean, I hear this all the time. They'll go, Dr. Joy, you know, I had a pretty good life. I was feeling good. I was not sick. My family was doing great. And then the moment I joined the church and gave my life to Jesus Christ, everything fell apart. And the problem is Satan wants you to think that so that you blame God and you don't really look at who is the culprit in this. This, again, if you don't know your enemy and what he's capable of, a lot of people say, oh, don't give the devil credit. Let's don't give the devil credit. Well, I'm going to tell you that he was the first being created. Lucifer was over everything. This being is not something to dance with, play with, or listen to. And just like you said, he has the greatest capability to use two things. He mixes evil with good. That's why in the Garden of Eden, he was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he will take good and mingle it around like he did with Adam and Eve and tell them things which sounded almost like what God had said. So it made them question, did God really say that? Because they were hearers and not doers. So you've got to really, when you read Scripture, you've got to get it within you. Even Satan, when he took Jesus up and was offering him all the kingdoms of the world, he thought Jesus in that weakened state of fasting all those days, that he could literally use some truths to destroy Jesus. And that's what he does with us. He uses some truths to get us entangled in it, and then the root of it is evil. It's kind of like, I described it like this. If you ever watched any of the Harry Potter movies, a lot of people got into all of that. You had a good side that were witches, and you had a bad side that were witches. But look at this. They were all witches.
Yeah.
The root of all them, good and bad, they were witches. If that's the case, it is of Satan. And unless you know your enemy, yes, people are being carried to slaughter. They're going to end up taking the mark of the beast, believing something that Satan's going to offer that's going to be better. And this is something that's been going on a long, long, long time. I mean, this didn't start yesterday. It started in the Garden of Eden. If you don't understand, the only way to understand the book of Revelation is to get a great foundation of what really happened in the Garden of Eden. Because if you don't get your foundation laid in the Garden of Eden and understand that there is a seed line here with us that literally looks like us, talks like us, but Scripture says they are not of us. They have been in these great situations of thoroughbreds running the world the entire time. I mean, when Jesus was here, that's why Satan could take him up and offer him the kingdoms of the world. We know when Jesus went before Pilate, he said to Pilate, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. So we already know that who's ruling over this planet was Lucifer thrown to earth when he tried to repel. The thing about it is he wanted to be God in heaven. He wanted to be God in the Garden of Eden. He was emulating the tree of life. At the end of days, as the Antichrist, he is emulating Jesus Christ. He wants to be God. That's the entire reason he's doing what he's doing. And he wants to take every creature that has been formed in the image of God, which is all humanity, whether you be black, white, green, purple, whatever, if you're human, you have been created in God's image. And his intent is to destroy your soul because it's a get back. That's the only way that he can literally hurt the creator is to take and destroy you in hell. We all know Scripture tells us that the hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels, demonic beings, but it enlarges daily. Why? Because humanity doesn't look to the Creator and look to who offers us paradise and inheritance, and we sell our inheritance for our sin, for lust,
for a bowl of beans,
for all kinds of things that we sometimes don't even realize just in what we're doing. I mean, I go in that we talk about things like, you know, sexual problems and drug problems and stealing and killing and all that. But I'm going to tell you, unforgiveness will keep you out of heaven just as fast as any of those things will. And unfortunately, in churches, there are so many churches breaking apart, mad at each other. And I'm thinking, do you really think you're going to end up in heaven when the problem occurred with Satan wanting to do his thing different? As Lucifer, I mean, God got him out of there because it's his rebellion, his unwillingness to work toward the common good of what God had created there. So, I mean, we've got churches that are being destroyed within. So the sins of unforgiveness, it specifically says in Scripture, if you do not forgive your brother, do not think that unforgiveness is going to come to you. It tells you what you've got to do. And that's one of the hardest things in the world. Once you've been really hurt, and I mean, we're talking about people, if they killed your family members, we're talking about every conceived possibility. You have got to be able to forgive. So these sins that are going on, Satan will say, well, that's a bad sin. You know, that's a worse sin. Yes, there are some things that I do believe are worse. And I think probably the sin against your own body, the sexual sins, are some of the worst because I believe that that's kind of what happened in the garden. So when you think about people who are pedophiles and people who molest children and take away innocence, I do believe that, you know, fornication, adultery, we have not been taught enough about that growing up as children to see how serious it is that these evil spirits, these unclean spirits that are part of all of that, how they attach to us. And until you get the brain understanding that you are not just a physical being that's going to be put out in a pine box and deteriorate one day, you literally are three things. You are physical body, spiritual body, and your soul. Your soul is who you are. It is not in your brain. If you step out of your body and you are dead and you are laying there, you have a physical body that looks identical to your physical body, and your soul, you know who you are. If you are in a near-death experience, you will be able to tell everybody that's in the room what they're saying. You know who they are. If you have an experience that you're being drawn into heaven through a tunnel, And you meet people, they all know who you are. You know who they are, the ones that have passed on. So you are known as you were known. And so if it was all just left in the brain, when you died, you would have no concept of anything. You'd just be like walking around, who am I? I'm this weird thing floating around. Even in the near-death experiences of people who encounter hell, they know who they are. They see what's being done. They know that it's demonic. It's actually dragging them down into the, you know, to the gates of hell and the torture that goes on. And the thing about it, in the spiritual body, you can be attacked and you will feel it in the spiritual. So when people think it's just lights out, it's not. In the moment that you die in the physical realm, you step immediately out. Nobody is laying in a graveyard. Nobody's out there. There might be some demons walking around and familiar spirits and things of that nature all out there to scare people and do things. But the person themselves is not laying in that grave. The moment that they quit breathing, they go into that spiritual realm. And it's right here with us, because everyone that has a near-death experience or gets steps outside of the body will tell you they can see everything that's going on. They can hear everything that's going on, but nobody can see them. So it's not like everything is just lights out. And then we're also told in scripture at the end of the days, everybody, including those that are wicked, will be brought up in from the spiritual realm, from hell, from heaven. You're given a resurrected body. Now, if you're part of the rapture of the Christian church, you get that much sooner.
And that's something I tell everybody. Everybody changed. Gets eternal life. It's just where they're not where that's you right. go you're and spend end at eternity.
That's right. You're going to end at one place or another. But so many people think, Justin, that, and especially atheists and that kind of thing, they think, oh, you know, it's all lights out. Well, it's not. It's an eternity in one or two places. And you are in a resurrected body like Jesus was when he rose from the dead. You have your physical body, your spiritual body, and your soul all intact. And so when you are cast in the lake of fire for all eternity, your resurrected body never dies. So when it says in scripture that the worms will eat you and bite you and the demons will do all this kind of stuff, that will go on for eternity, 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 eternity. And you can look at the scriptures and know that the parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was in hell. He said, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. He was in a spiritual body with his soul. He knew who Lazarus was. He asked Father Abraham, go and tell my family members that hell is real. Keep them out of there. You know everything. And that's the thing that my latest book, Beastmark, is trying to teach you, because there's coming a day. If you're not raptured out of here and Jesus doesn't come back before we have to either take the mark of the beast or not take it, you need to know that the moment that you die, that you step out of your body, you're not dead. Because Satan's going to give you the option of taking the mark. You can take his mark and become a transhuman and connect yourself up for the great revolution of humanity, the fourth industrial revolution, the great reset of humanity. Or you can choose death. Well, most people, they think in their brains that they're just going to go out there and lay in the dust and turn to dirt. If you don't realize that the moment they cut your head off, the moment they shoot a bullet in your head, that you step immediately out of the physical realm, you are never dead. There is nowhere in scripture that your spirit and your soul ever die. And so we're coming down to a play in this world today that there is an Antichrist. There is a beast system. There is a push to make you be connected to artificial intelligence. It's mingling flesh with iron. That's the 10 toes of Daniel that he had of the prophecy at the end of days, and that it would be mingled together. Right now, at the moment that you choose to connect yourself up to artificial intelligence, you change the vibratory state of your body. When you do that, you were created in a vibratory state, because everything God created, he spoke it into existence. It's the word. It's a vibrational pattern. Words are light. They are electromagnetic frequencies. And so once you change that, that's unique to you. Everybody has their own song. We're all vibrating it as a special song. And so God can connect to you. He can commune with you that way. the moment that you sever that vibration that is God-given, that is why if you ever take the mark of the beast, it's over. You cannot take it out of you. You can't redo it. You have bought your ticket into the gates of hell. And so I felt like when God gave me this information and research that had led me to this, I felt like it was just detrimental to try to talk to people about it, because now we are seeing the increase in satellite systems, Elon Musk, the Starlinks. I mean, those satellites are getting more and more and more in number up there. And the Neuralink that connects your brain, your pineal gland, and all that directly to that puts you in a state of being like the Tower of Babel, where everybody will be like a bunch of Alexas. You'll know everything. Everything will be within you. The problem is you are no longer human. The moment you sever what the Creator gave you, and that is to be in His image, you have chosen your destiny. You have chosen your paradise. You've given up your paradise for the gates of hell. And unless you get that you've got to choose death at that point to go into your heavenly paradise and not choose Satan, so many people, we saw this with the plagues. I mean, people came out and said, you know, oh, mama, don't, you know, take this, take that shot, do this, whatever, begging people to get a part of something that clearly was not scientifically proved. And so when we get down to the mark of the beast, it's your choice. And Satan's going to have it.
What did Jesus say? Those who seek to save their life will
lose it. I mean, scripture, that's what I'm telling you. Nothing is allegorical. This is all going to come to pass exactly like we've been told. And so if you don't understand the afterlife, if you don't understand the spiritual world, if you don't understand that we are spirit, soul, and body, if you don't get the three-in-one concept of God, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, whatever people want to call that, you really, if you can't get that in your mind, when it comes down to you being pulled in front of a guillotine or whatever, and they say you either got to submit to the mark or you've got to have your head cut off, if you don't have the knowledge that you need, you will suffer. And that's what I'm trying to keep people from doing. At the end of days, suffering and taking something Satan is going to offer, it's going to seem wonderful. Life forever on this planet. You'll never die. I mean, there's going to be all these promises because we have identified death.
No more mental illness. No more handicap.
Because you'll be as smart as everybody else. You'll be an Alexa. I mean, everything that we ask that thing in our homes, you know, it can usually give us an answer like this. And for us to keep up, for humanity to keep up with technology, going from a 5G to a 6G, we have got to be connected to it, Justin. And they know that because it's so advanced. We can only think of certain things. I mean, I've studied all my life and I know about a lot of things. But if you say, sit down and do this algebra, whatever, what is this, this, and this, and this, that Alexa can answer it like that. I've got to sit there and try to figure it out. All the technology is going so much faster than we can go, so much quicker. Right now, they're coming out with the AI genie stuff to be on your computer because the AI is faster at checking things than the human setup of computers were first designed to do. So for us to keep up with AI, we've got to be a part of AI. There's no way to get away from it. And Satan knows that. And it's the perfect setup because he's going to make everybody into a beehive mind. If you understand the secret societies and what they were about, that's what they were doing, was trying to teach the queen bee has all the brains. And all the worker bees get information from her to do the hive. If the queen bee dies, everybody dies. That's exactly right. It's how the Tower of Babel was built. So what Satan is doing, he's putting us back to the Tower of Babel. He's putting the Starlink satellites up there. He's connecting your brain up through Neuralink. Everybody has this break brilliance, no more problems. You can think and do whatever you want to do. Everybody's the same. They're all worker bees. And that will form the great reset of humanity. It's the perfect setup. And it also allows you to have some things in your body that typically will keep you maybe from dying. And so the promise of eternal life and a state that's forever, everything is going to look so hunky-dory, just like rolling out, you know, we can fix this particular plague with this. What? And nobody will ever ask any questions because they think, greatest thing since peanut butter. And they'll never realize that the moment that they chose to do that actually severed them forever from their creator God and their Father in heaven. So it is a very serious thing that we in this generation are going to deal with, because the technology that I show you in Be Smart Kin Today's is already here. It's not like we're waiting to get this. It's already here. We're just getting the satellites up, and they're sending them up, thousands of them.
They're just slow walking us and trying to mentally prepare and desensitize us to this so everyone will take it.
That's right, because they make you see how important technology is. I mean, right now we've taken technology that we can set our washing machines if we're away from the house. We can see who's at our door for our cameras. We can turn on our refrigerators. We can turn on the air conditioner. We can lower the blinds. We can do all kinds of things with technology. The problem is the new technology, and what I show in this, the new oil of the world is your DNA. It is being sold right and left. 22 and me, they lost, I forgot how many millions of people's data. So it's been breached. So somebody, if you were a part of that, has got your DNA frequencies. And it's no different than your cell phone number. Because you have a vibration in your DNA that's true to only you. You can't fake it. You can't pull it out of somebody. You can't put theirs inside of you. It's yours. And so, like, if I can call you on a cell phone in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and you got 50 million people around you, when I dial your number, it's only you that I'm going to ring your cell phone and you're going to pick up and say hello. If I've got your DNA and I got your number from a satellite, I can target you anywhere on this planet because you are vibrating at that frequency that nobody else is. So I have your number. So the Antichrist has a great power right now that we've now got, you know, the internet, everything's going to be in the cloud. Everything's going to be kept in the cloud. All the money, you know, Bitcoins, the future of currency, everything will be a way where you can't get your hands on it. So you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade because you cannot get your hands on money to be able to do that. And right now they're already using Amazon, you know, the palm, where you just run your palm through and it takes and puts all your, if you're buying groceries or whatever you're doing, it puts it immediately in your bank account, takes out whatever you bought.
They can control you. You didn't use anything but the palm of your hand. Online, they can cut off your funds. Look what they did to the truck drivers in Canada.
Perfect example. You don't do what we say do, we're going to not send you your retirement checks. We're not going to send you your welfare checks. They're not going to send you. That's right. They won't do anything. Another thing is what people have not thought about is you can't get your medicine. Think about how many people in this country are being given prescription medications. They're locked on these prescription medications, and you just can't do without it. So it comes down to the thing, you know, the mark of the beast. They say, hey, look, you know, you got to take this mark, because if you don't take this mark, well, we're not going to be able to, fill your prescriptions. Think about the people who drink drugs, things that they have to purchase like that on the black market or whatever. You won't be able to do anything because the problem is money is nothing. I don't care if you've got gold, silver, bronze, whatever. If you can't eat it and drink it to keep you alive, it is no good to you. You can put stuff, you can hide stuff, you can do. But what I'm saying is there's no way to escape what Satan has gotten planned for what's going to come down the pike to put him in as an Antichrist and have control over every aspect of your life. You're going to end up, like people used to say, oh, he's going to put a chip in you and they'll hold you down. No, 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 no. It gets to be your choice. It's your choice. It's just like he did Eve. Did God really say this, Eve? Did God really say this? He's going to say to you, I have the opportunity for you to do this, this, and this, and this. But now, if you don't want to be a part of that, you can always check out. It's your choice. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I feel like too many Christians haven't been taught enough about this. It's coming. that a lot of them will choose the mark of the beast because I want to live. I want to be with my grandchildren. I want to see my great-grandchildren. I could live forever. Da, da, da. I mean, just excuse, excuse, excuse. And never realize they gave up their soul to Satan. And it's all being played out right in front of our eyes. The detachment for families, just go into a restaurant. The husband's got a cell phone he's looking at. He's not talking to his wife. The wife's doing something on her cell phone. The kids have all got their cell phones, or they got the baby with some kind of monitor in front of it where it's watching something. They have detached humanity using technology, and they are infiltrating our children in the school systems with all kinds of things. I mean, people are identifying as cats and dogs. I mean, literally, they are allowing people to use sandboxes in schools because they're identifying to be a cat. That's bestiality. I mean, we are bringing back all the things and traumas of this world, the sins that we can clearly see in Scripture. Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, God created this world, but He literally blew them off the map. He destroyed it. So we know that the things that we're participating in the world in which we're now living, are like the days of Noah. Scripture tells us at the end of days, it's going to be like the days of Noah, when there was only 8 souls worthy to step on to that ark. 8 souls out of hundreds of thousands of people. And a lot of people think there was not a lot of people back in those days. But if you do the math, there was almost as many people on this planet back in those days as they are now. That means a lot of people perished. And if you look around at your churches, your true churches that are really teaching the Word of God, I call it the churches of Philadelphia, because the new Laodicean churches are just, they're putting a stage up there and entertaining you. But the true ones that are still preaching hellfire and brimstone, those churches are getting less and less numbers of people. They don't have any young people coming in. And they're dying slowly across our country. And that's exactly what Satan wants. And it's happening right before our eyes.
What ties in with that days of Noah stuff, you know, a lot of people miss the genealogy and the blood of that story. Because when you read the original Hebrew, it says that, you know, Noah was a righteous man. That word righteous, he was Tamim. Tamim is the same word they use for the sacrificial animals in the tabernacle.
That's right.
So it wasn't saying that, no, he was righteous, like he was perfect, he didn't sin. No, he was, his bloodline was pure. And think about
that. That's right.
According to Scripture, why I'm telling you, all Justin, the bloodlines were tainted except for him. He was the only one left.
That's right. And see, that's where I tell you that if you don't understand the book, if you don't get your foundation about the lineages and how it got set up, that two lines were coming out of the Garden of Eden, if you don't get that foundation laid, you do not understand the Scriptures all the way to the end. Because the reason that we are told who begat, who begat, who begat, was to let us know which of those lineages were running through history that had pureness in them. And you're right. We know that Noah got off, you know, the ark and turned around and got drunk. Well, if he was a perfect man, if he was so-called perfect like that, he would have never done that.
Right.
But his bloodline was righteous because it was not tainted. It was not a tainted bloodline. And that's why you see in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, you get Jesus's genealogy there, because it has to show you that he had nothing in his bloodline that would keep him from going to the cross as a pure lamb to be slaughtered. Yep. He had no imperfection in him to be able to do that. And one of the reasons that it shows Mary's lineage in Luke is to let you know, because he didn't come from Joseph's lineage. Joseph was his stepfather. God was Jesus's father. And so you know, Matthew shows us what was its lineage as far as the male, but Luke shows us the lineage for how it was with Mary. And that is to teach us that there was nothing from Jesus all the way back to Adam's son, Seth, that keeps us knowing that he had the capability to go to that cross and that his blood was perfected and that when he died, it could cleanse us. If he had been an animal in sacrifice that had a blemish, we know from Scripture that those blemished animals were not even considered. When you did a red heifer, it could not even have one white hair on it.
Yeah, can't be hooked up to a plow. There's so many qualifications.
That's right. So Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God to go to the slaughter. But why was it? Because he had the perfect blood. He had the blood, the capability was not tainted. And so many people just don't understand. I mean, when I was young and I was reading all those, you know, the Chronicles and the Judges and all that, and
boring, but there's a point.
There's a point to it. And like I say, unless you get an understanding of that point and what happened in that garden to get you to this day and age in which we live, then you just don't get how serious this serpent group is that's a part of Satan, that's right here with us. They are the, you know, when you talk about the parable of the wheat and tares, we are the wheat of God, but those tares have been planted in the garden to destroy us. And I was, you know, like I said, I was a farm girl. And one of the stories I talk about in my book is about going out and my father for punishment because I was not being a good enough child for what he believed was to pull the weeds out of the peanut field all day long. And I want to tell you, hot sun in South Georgia, we're talking about in the, you know, high 90s and hundreds. And you're out there all day long in a peanut field with no clouds, unless it was clouds in the sky, but absolutely no shade or anything. And what I found out as a child doing that was that when you went to pull the weeds up, sometimes you'd pull the peanuts up with it. And that's what that parable is telling, that, you know, these things have been growing along here with us. They look like us because if you look at a tare in a wheat field, it'll look the same. The only time you can tell the difference is if the wind blows, the wheat will bend over and the tares will be standing straight up. But if you go out into that field and start trying to pull up that tare, you'll pull up the wheat with it. Yep. So we're all growing here together. There's a lineage that's of tares and a lineage that's of wheat, and we're going right along together until the end of days when it's all, you know, pulled apart and done away. One to the gates of hell and the other to
the bad stone in the fire, according to the parable.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you get the whole picture, then the Bible, it just comes alive. Until I really did the research that I've done, you know, it just seemed like different stories in the Bible. But once you get the lineage thing, then you understand why all the things and who's told about and how that goes through to the end of days, why that is so vitally important for us to get. Because it literally makes the Bible come alive. It does not destroy the concept of the Bible. If anything, it makes you understand it to the T a lot better about why you are fighting something that is here with us trying to destroy us, and it's real. And it uses demonic influences. It uses demons that were a part of the Nephilim, and that was when the, you know, back before the flood, you know, ended all of some of that, was that the sons of God came upon the daughters of men. They took them. You know, when those women had the babies, that killed them because the babies were giants. It literally burst them open. They were not being given holy matrimony between these things. And so that was just taking over the world and destroying it. And if you look at that, then when those beings died, they couldn't go back to the Father because it was not an original creation of God. You got to remember, everything up until you get to the tree of good and evil in the garden, it says everything that God created was good until you get to that point. And then it was like, don't mess with that tree. So whatever Satan has used, he can't create. He has to use Satan has to use what God has already created. He has to manipulate it some way. And the more that he can get humanity to help him manipulate it and then try to send your soul into the gates of hell, he's happy. He is literally happy because he knows his future. He knows what hell is. He is there. He knows it. And he will do whatever he can do to destroy you and your family. I keep telling people, look, the greatest asset that you have is your soul. It's who you are. And, you know, we plan like what we're going to do for vacation, or are we going to plan if we're going to work 30 years and we're going to retire, and we plan for all these things. We never stop to plan our eternity. And every day we are one breath away from it. If you were 10 years out from retirement, you'd be sitting up thinking, I got to get this and I got to get this in order. You'd be thinking about that all the time, about getting things in order. But we are one breath away from either a hell or a heaven. And we don't sit and think when we make choices about something, if we listen to something, if we watch something, if we read something, if we participate in things we know are bad. It, you know, this once saved, always saved. If you're still committing sins after you become a Christian and you keep going back to them, you need to search yourself. Are you saved? Because God will continue to forgive if you are fervently praying and meaning it. We are human. We live in a fallen world. But if you continue to participate in things over and over and you just every night go, God, forgive me for my sins today. You go out and you do it again. God, forgive me. How many times would you do that for your child? I mean, my dad would not have done it. If he'd have said, Joy, you're not to do that anymore. And if I had gone out and done it, he would say, did I not tell you not to do that? There's a consequence to pay for continuing to do something wrong. God is no different. I mean, it says in Scripture for us as humans not to spare the rod, because if you do, you spoil the child. So God is not going to do the same thing for us once we are Christians. He's not going to continue to say, oh, it's okay, Joy, you just keep going and doing that same thing every day and every night. You ask for forgiveness, I'm going to forgive you. That's not how this all works. Once you become a Christian, you want to live your life like Christ. You don't want to follow the path of Satan. And then you don't want to die doing something that you know was wrong and then end up in a gate, in a pit of hell, going, you know, I had the chance. Can you imagine being in hell, knowing the true love of God, and you chose to do something that sent you into those gates forever? Because in hell, there is no love. The love of God will never be in hell. That's only a heavenly thing. So the light that is love is not there. And that means when people say, oh yeah, I love, you know, partying and I love this, and when I get to hell, you know, great things going to be, like you're going to have all this partying time or whatever with Satan, like they did at the Grammys, you know, and dancing and with all that stuff and acting like it's a great thing. I'm going to tell you, Justin, they're going to hate each other because there's no love there. They will hate each other for everything they ever did with them. They will hate them for leading them in those directions. There will be nothing but gnashing of teeth and hate, knowing that you listened to somebody else and that you ended up there instead of with your Father in heaven. I think one of the movies that I saw not too long ago was the last, I think it's the Left Behind series, but you know, the guy that was the, if you watch that movie, the guy that was the airline pilot, he had had an adulterous affair behind his wife's back. And of course, he comes home and his wife, and I believe it's his son, had been raptured. And he's a Christian, or he knew Christian knowledge and was pretending to be, but he was doing this other thing. He comes home and finds them gone. And then his girlfriend shows up and she's strutting around in front of him and doing all this stuff. And what he's looking at, what he thought was so perfect, so good, so enjoyable, he could look at her and know he had lost his chance to be in heaven. And that means that everything that you do here on this earth that's not godly, when you think about all that, when you end up in hell, can you imagine just that torment alone? Was it worth it? I'll tell everybody that's listening to this, there is nothing, nothing on this planet that is worth more to you than your soul.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yep. Dr. Joyce, thank you so much. And I really enjoyed this conversation. I want to sit down with you again, and because we kind of scratched the surface here, I want to take a deep dive into, you know, Satan's plan, how he's crept this in, and what you think the plans for the future are, because we have a ways to go, but we are definitely, in my opinion, seeing the direction that things are going.
Yes, and I think it would be really interesting to go back and talk about the next time I'm on your show, is to talk about some of the plays and the games that have been going on that have prepared us to get us to the point where we are at right
yes.
now. And one of the things that we had talked about was the connection to evil that Hitler and his group were involved in. And
yes.
so, yes, I would love to come back on your show in the near future and for us to kind of pick up, because I think today I've laid the groundwork for you to understand
yeah.
how serious my work is. I take everything I do and say so serious. I mean, I take it very serious, because this means a choice that you've got to make for eternalness, not just a quick run of the mill. We're talking about where are you going to spend eternity. And I just want to lay the groundwork that I have the greatest concern for your soul. You will probably never meet anybody that will tell you that, even if I love a person, I'm going to tell them first, I love your soul. And my concern is that you choose right. You choose based on knowledge that gets you into paradise, and not being fooled into the gates of hell. Because right now, that's where we're at. Society is a false everything. The more that fake stuff, false news, incorrect information that's being spewed out everywhere is destroying people. And it said in Scripture, there will come a time you cannot tell truth from lies. We are there. This is the generation of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And the man of lawlessness is about to take a step onto the world stage. And if you are not prepared to make a choice, knowing that your greatest asset is your soul, and that there's nothing here, nothing that's worth you losing paradise over.
Amen. Guys, if you enjoyed that, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and your family members. Expose people to this material and this coming great deception. We need to do our due diligence to make sure that the people of this world are educated and know about the incoming train that's about to hit them head on. But guys, hope you enjoyed that. Tune back in with us, because definitely going to get Dr. Joy back on the schedule again. But until next time, torches high, guys.